today on Living on Every Word.
Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed, and here it is, by the renewing of your mind. I transform by renewing my mind. In other words, I've got to put my mind on other stuff than the stuff that I've been putting it on. And when He is my vision, my mind begins to change about things. Mind transformation under the power of the Holy Spirit.
What is the primary focus of your everyday life? Today, Pastor Mike Fritcher shares some practical things that we can do to bring about the life change that we desire in part three of Transformation.
Living on Every Word.
Been talking about transformation. Been talking about God coming and transforming us into His image. And we talk about the Spirit's work in our lives. Last week, we looked pretty in-depth at 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And I want you to turn there real briefly, chapter 3, verse 17 and 18. Scripture says in verse 17 that the Lord is the Spirit. Jesus is the Spirit, the Lord, Yahweh. He is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's what? There's freedom. There's freedom. Freedom from the law. Freedom from sin, from strongholds. Freedom from the things that bind us, freedom from bondages, freedom from hang-ups, freedom from words that have been spoken over us, maybe as little babies or little boys or little girls. There's freedom in Christ. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. And what Paul says is that, listen, while we're beholding Him, while we're beholding the presence of God, while we're keeping our eyes fixed, while we behold this glory of God, then we are being transformed into the same image that we're looking at, that we're beholding, this vision that we want to keep before us at all times. And he says, when I envision that and when I see that and I behold that glory, then I'm transformed. And what's interesting about that passage of Scripture is that it's in the context of when Moses went up the mountain the second time to get the law, because the first time, you know, he came down and they were having a huge party and Moses got angry and threw the tablets down and they broke to pieces and judgment came upon Israel, and he goes back up and he receives the Ten Commandments again, written in stone again. And the Bible says in that conversation with God, he says, oh God, I want your presence to go with us, and I want to see your glory. I want to see your glory. And God says, okay, I'll let you see my glory. I'll let you see it, but you can't see the front side. I'm going to pass by. There's a place that I'm going to bring you to, and I'm going to pass by, but you can't see my front side, because if you see my front side, you'll die. So I'm going to pass by, and I'm going to put you in the cleft of this rock, and I'm going to put my hand over you, and then when I pass by, I'm going to lift my hand so you can see the backside of God's glory. The Bible says that the Lord passes by, and if you've been in any amount of time, spent any time with us at Cottonwood, you know that when we look at this next passage, it's in Exodus chapter 34, when He passes by, He says, the Lord God, compassionate, full of loving kindness and truth, gracious, slow to anger, keeping loving kindness and forgiving iniquity, transgression, and sin. Passes by, He speaks that. He speaks the glory. He describes what the glory looks like. But yet there is this brightness. There is this life change. There's this encounter with God, so that when He lifts His hand up, Moses sees the backside, and when He comes down, His face is glowing. It's glowing with light. And it's so odd, and it's so strange that the children of Israel say, you're scaring us. You know, that's sometimes what the Spirit does. Scares you. Takes you out of the places that you're comfortable with. It'll scare you to death sometimes. That's why we talked about last week that we don't want to have any kind of preconceived ideas or notions about when the Spirit of God comes and how He comes and what He does. But I want to tell you what notion we do need to do. We need to do need to have is that when He comes, He's going to do a mighty, mighty work. That's the notion. That's the idea. Moses comes down off the mountain. He's glowing. I mean, and it's scary. I mean, he is glowing. I mean, it's like if you would think if it happened today that he got involved in something nuclear or something. I mean, it's just emanating out of his heart, out of his life. He could see it on his face. And so they say, oh, Moses, we're scared to death of this. So Moses, when he come out, he put a veil over his face. And he'd speak to the sons of Israel. He'd go back, he'd take the veil off. Now you know that Moses, the Bible says that Moses, that God spoke with Moses with a friend, face to face, right? So I mean, he has this great relationship with them. He has seen the glory of God, and people know he has seen God and know that he's experienced God. And so day after day, or week after week, or however often he got together with the congregation, he put this veil over his face. But one day he realized something that they didn't realize. That when he go back to his tent and maybe look in a mirror, or maybe his wife said something, hey, you're losing the glow. And day by day, this glow, this glory was becoming less and less. And so do you know what he did? He kept, Paul says, it doesn't say in the Exodus, but Paul says, listen, what he did was he kept going to the congregation with his veil over his face so that they would not see the glory fading away. That is the context of this passage of Scripture. That when we turn to the Lord, the Spirit of God comes into our lives, but this glory, it doesn't fade. He says, we behold this vision of Christ, this glory of God, this compassionate God, this loving kindness God, this God who forgives iniquity, transgression, and sin. And Paul says, listen, the Spirit's here. He's the Lord. Where the Spirit of the Lord, there's liberty. So keep your eyes on Him. And as we do it, and I love what he says here, he says, and we all, see, with unveiled faces, are beholding as in a mirror the glory of God. We point our faces toward God and we behold Him. Behold what? You behold the glory of God. You keep this vision and you say, God, I want you to be my vision. I don't want anything else to be my vision. Let's behold God. Let's behold His glory. Let's keep envisioning Him. It's the thought is, will you just seek the kingdom of God first and His righteousness? Let's look at that for a moment. Go to Matthew chapter 6. And as you're turning there, I want to ask the question, what have you been beholding lately? I mean, what have you been consumed with? What is the vision that you kept your eyes on? Is there something going on at work that you just can't get over? Is there something in a relationship that's going on that's taking place in your life and it's becoming destructive in your heart and your spirit and you just keep on beholding that and you keep on beholding that? What about your bank book? What about your career? What about all those other things? What about the problem with your children or grandchildren? Maybe it's a sickness. Maybe it's a health issue. I don't know. But what is it that's consuming you today? What is your vision? What is your vision? Because sometimes I think we look like people that our vision is not Jesus. It's something else. Can you imagine singing that about your car? Oh, Oldsmobile. I don't think there are any more Oldsmobiles. Be thou my vision. O house of mine, be thou my vision. O property of mine, O career of mine, be thou my vision. I'm just going to seek this career first. I'm just going to seek it first and just see what happens because if I work hard, then I might succeed. Yeah, you might work hard and you might succeed, but in the end of the day, you might look out and you see just ruined lives. You see that in every area of life, whether it's business, whether it's sports, whether it's career, whatever career it is, you see it. We envision these things and we keep our hearts and our minds toward it, and then you know what? We lose. We lose. How many of you lost before? How many of you lost? We've all lost. And it's in those times that we look back and we realize, I've been beholding the wrong thing. I've been beholding the wrong thing. You know, Jesus gets right to the quick of the matter in a lot of folks' lives. I mean, it's interesting because he is saying in this passage of Scripture, Matthew chapter 6, verse 25, For this reason I say to you, do not be worried about your life as to what you will eat or what you will drink, nor for your body as to what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Hey, look at the birds of the air. They don't sow or reap or gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they? Let me ask you, are you worth a lot more than birds and trees? Absolutely. Absolutely. And God says, listen, I take care of birds. I take care of birds of the field. I clothe fields with flowers. I care about my creation, is what God says. But I care so deeply for the crown of my creation. God cares for you. And if He cares for you, you can be certain that you can trust Him and that He will see you through. And that's why He's saying, listen, church, listen, children of God, quit worrying. Quit worrying about your life. I mean, He talks about food and He talks about clothing, and He says, you're so much more worth than that. Verse 27, and who of you, by being worried, can add a single hour to your life? In other words, he says, worry doesn't work. But what happens is because we're creatures that are fallen, we live our lives beholding the stuff of this world and coming up empty season after season after season after season. Is that right? Is that right? We've had our vision. Our vision is for that food. It's for that clothes. It's for that job. It's for the span of my life. Some translations talk about you can't add another cubit to your stature. Well, I worried about that until I was 18. I stopped growing, kind of stretch yourself, try to get another inch. And God said, I'll take care of that. I'll give you an accident and crush a vertebrae, and now you're an inch shorter, You worry about so many things, bothered by so many things. Why are you worried about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow. They don't toil, nor do they spin. Yet I say, not even Solomon in all his glory clothed himself like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown in the furnace, will he not much more clothe you? You of little faith, do not worry then, saying what we will eat or what we will drink or what we will wear. For the Gentiles, the world, they eagerly seek all those things. For your heavenly Father, and I want you to notice that, my heavenly Father, relationship. My God knows. My God takes care. How many of us fathers know the needs of our children, and we fight to meet those needs? I mean, some of us have the opportunity to grow up in places and homes where we just knew our parents were going to take care of us. And he's saying, listen, this is what God does. He takes care of you. The world, they eagerly seek all these things. But you seek his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. And don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Is Jesus saying there's not going to be trouble? No, there's enough trouble of its own today. But what he says is, seek first the kingdom of God. And not the trouble. Not the trouble. That's where we get tripped up. That's where we miss transformation. That's where we miss peace, life. Because somehow we've got clothing in our vision, job in our vision, career in our vision. Hey, nothing wrong with getting dressed. Matter of fact, you better get dressed, right? Nothing wrong with picking out clothes. Nothing wrong with picking out food and eating food. But I want to tell you, and there's nothing wrong with working hard. It's work hard. But I want to tell you, when that's your vision and that's before you, you get eat up. You get eat up with worry. You get eat up with anxiety. You get eat up with stress. And that's what Jesus is saying. Do you want a remedy to this? Seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. Now, I want you to notice in this passage of Scripture, he speaks to basic needs. Not luxury as wants. God knows what you need. And then there's a whole other message on that. A whole other message on contentment. Seek first what? Seek first his kingdom. And then you and I know that it just doesn't have to do with just the food and the clothing and the job and the material things of this life. It's so much more deeper than that. The question I want to ask is what are you worried, anxious, and fearful of? And I'm asking you, as your pastor, to ask you to dare to believe that I can be more concerned about the kingdom of God and his righteousness than my carton here. Of how my carton looks and what I'm going to put into my carton's mouth. More interested in the kingdom of God and people. For the love of God and the love of people. You seek first his kingdom. You seek first his righteousness. Seek first what? His kingdom. His righteousness. That which is right. That which is holy. The second thought was, and fix your eyes on who? Fix your eyes on who? Jesus. Go to Hebrews chapter 12, if you would. Hebrews chapter 12. Great passage of Scripture. Therefore, verse 1, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Now, I know that there's a number of you who are coaches. And if you were a coach that got your athlete ready for the 100 meter and asked him, oh, wait, before you do that, I want to put a couple of weights in your shoes. And can you go on and just hold these two 5-pound weights while you race? Does that sound ridiculous? That sounds ridiculous. No, you strip aside every encumbrance that will hinder you from running this 100-meter race. Paul says, listen, these folks do it for a perishable medal or wreath, but we do it for an imperishable. We do what? We lay aside. We buffet our body. We make it our slave. We're the ones in church life and in the kingdom of God that says, these things don't matter in this life. Yeah, I've got to tend to these things, but in the grand scheme of things, what matters is the vision of Christ. And that's what he says. He says, listen, you lay aside the things, the sins and the things that easily entangle you. You strip them aside, and then you run the race with endurance. I like that because it's a God who's moving in my life and is allowing me to move with him. I'm not just some guy running along where God's saying, okay, a little faster, a little faster. No, I'm giving my own effort. I've got an effort in this. It's not the first effort. My first effort is seeking him and depending on him, but it's the second one. And it's the effort that I give in this life to follow hard after Christ. Do you think it's easy to take up your cross and follow him? It's not easy. It's hard to your flesh. But we are to strip aside all the things that are entangling you. Whether it's a sin problem or whether it's just something else out there that's not really evil or anything, but you've given so much of your life to it, it's entangled you. He says, listen, you run the race with endurance, and what do? No, notice what it says in the Scripture. You fix your eyes on Jesus. What's your vision today? What's your finish line? Your finish line getting to retirement? Well, I'm going to tell you, there's some of us in here have retired. It ain't all what it's cracked up to be, is it? Looked all your life for it. What did they do? They gave you a gold watch. Somebody told me that. They don't even give you that anymore. And that's all I got, a gold watch, 50 years. We ran with endurance this race. And we missed it because we didn't fix our eyes on Jesus. We fixed ourselves on the things that were ultimately selfish. Ourselves, flesh, the things that would build me up and not the kingdom of God. That's why there's so many miserable people around the world. That's why when you have seasons of misery, usually, me, talking about Fritcher here, I have my eyes on Christ and I'm running hard after something else. Are you going to behold me? Jesus says. Are you going to look to me? Are you going to seek me first? Because you're just like a Martha, Fritcher. Martha, Martha, you're worried and bothered about so many things, and yet there's just one thing necessary. One thing necessary. It's the Spirit of the Lord, because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. Can anybody say that about their job? Where the job is liberty. Where the bank account is, there's liberty. It's never liberty in that. It's only liberty in Christ. So what I do is I behold the glory of God. I place Him before Him. I fix my eyes on Jesus. I seek His kingdom first, and I make sure I'm loving Him first. Turn there with me for just a moment. Revelation chapter 2, verses 1 through 7, a great passage of Scripture. Notice something about this passage of Scripture and about these people is that you can have a whole lot of things going for you and a whole lot of things doing right and still miss God, still miss Him. Notice, to the angel of the church in Ephesus write, the one who holds the seven stars in his right hand, the one who walks among the seven golden lampstands, says this, I know your deeds. I know your toil. I know your perseverance. You cannot tolerate evil men. They put to test those who call themselves apostles or maybe leaders, and they are not, and you found them to be false. And you have perseverance, and you've endured for my name's sake, and you've not even grown weary. But I have this against you. You have left your first love. You've left your first. You're not seeking first. You're not beholding the glory. You're not seeking first the kingdom, and you've left your first love. What is your first love? Your first love is to love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Is that not right? And the second's like it. And Jesus adds that. He says, look, there's a second like it. You love your neighbor as yourself. It's first love. Loving God first. You know, it's real interesting about loving God first. That everything else, it doesn't matter where everything else is in order or even how close it is, as long as you're loving God first. We seek God's kingdom first. That's why we love Him most. Because when we love Him most, we will lay down our life. We will follow what God has for us. We will walk in the obedience that God has asked us to walk in. We will lay aside the encumbrances that destroys our marriage. Encumbrances, sin, stuff, because we're pursuing the righteousness of God. We're pursuing the glory of God. I have this against you. You've left your first love. You know what he says next? Remember from where you fell. Remember the moment that you began to put other things before your God. And it may be anything that we've talked about today. It could be anything. And a question I want to ask us today in this whole thought of transformation, because he says, listen, if you'll behold me, you'll be transformed. If you behold the Spirit, you'll be transformed. Doesn't have to make sense. You don't have to have a huge degree to figure it out. It just happens. And I want to ask you, church, what are you beholding today? What are you obsessed with today? What are the things that just kind of keep rocking you? The question is, how are my eyes to be fixed and my affection set on Him? How am I to be in awe of His presence? And His presence not become so familiar that I just don't see it anymore? And what about the key to marital harmony? And what about the key to financial freedom? And what about the key to freedom in my life from the bondage of sin and junk? How do I do that? How do I keep my eyes fixed on Him? Well, turn to Romans chapter 12, and we'll finish with this morning. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living holy sacrifice. So, you know the great hymn, take my life and let it be. Take my hands, take my feet, take my eyes, take my mouth, take my whole being, Lord. Let it be. I mean, that's what he's talking about here. It is laying my life on the altar of God. And to say that this altar to God says that this is my life and this life is yours. And what's great about this sacrifice, it gets to live and it gets to be holy. To present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice. Paul has been talking about it in Romans 6, 7, and 8 when he says to present the members of your body to righteousness. Offer your bodies a living and holy sacrifice. And that just simply means my life is yours. My life is yours. And this is your reasonable service of worship. Verse 2. And don't be conformed to this world. Don't look like this world. Don't act like this world. Don't respond like this world responds. But be transformed, and here it is, by the renewing of your mind, so that you might prove or do what the will of God is, that which is good, acceptable, and perfect. Mind transformation under the power of the Holy Spirit. You must renew your mind. I must renew my mind. And when I get the right vision, when He is my vision, my mind begins to change about things. Have you noticed that about walking the Christian life? Your mind gets changed about a whole lot of things. And it starts thinking about a lot of different things differently, and you begin to see things differently. I've got to think not like the world, but what the Word says. If the God says that you are a child of God, believe that you're a child of God. If God says that you have the ability and the power to be transformed, believe that. Be defined by what God says, by His Word. Be defined by what God says in His Word about you and about our church and about who God's called us as a living organism in this community, in this Jerusalem. Transformed. I transform by renewing my mind. In other words, I've got to put my mind on other stuff than the stuff that I've been putting it on. Let me ask you, where's your life at when you're worrying and walking in anxiety? Where's your mind? It's on the stuff of the world. What happens when you're walking in bondage and sin? Is your eyes fixed on Jesus? No. Beholding the glory of God and being transformed, that's where it's at. I've got to renew my mind. I've got to choose to start putting the things in my heart, my mind, that are godly and holy and blameless, instead of always facing the junk and keeping it before me. It'll change your marriage. Hey, there's a scripture, and it's in Isaiah. It's Isaiah chapter 26. You will keep in perfect peace whose mind you stayed on Him. Do you see that? You, oh God, will keep in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on Him. I want you to bow with me in prayer. Would you do that right now? Let me tell you this. Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit of the living God, has come into your life for great purpose. And that purpose is to truly transform you. The Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. Now, there's some of you in here today, you've walked through a season that's just been rough. And some of it might be a season that's been 10, 15, 20 years. And it's been rough. Question, what's been your vision? Has it been a God vision, or has it been some other kind of vision that you kept before you, that you have followed after, and it's just brought destruction? What are you putting before you? It must be God. It must be the Spirit. It must be the kingdom. Not your job, not your church. Not even your spouse. Because spouse, church, and job cannot fulfill what only God can fulfill. It's a God thing. You might be here today and say, you know, Mike, you're right. I've kept my mind on all these other things, and I've neglected the things of the Spirit. And as a result, I've neglected the most important things in my life. And I need a change of view. I need a change of vision. And I want Him to be my vision. I want Him to be our vision. Maybe you've walked in such a way that you have just brought others down with you because of that. And you need to find them and seek forgiveness from them. But your life has just become, as you've concentrated on the things that you've worried about and the things that you've looked at, and your life has become nothing but a big complaint about your circumstances, about where you are. And I'm going to tell you, church, it's time to change. It's time to change. Fix our eyes on Jesus. Behold the glory of God. Turn to our first love. I want to ask if you'll make a commitment this morning to renew your mind. Will you change your vision today? Will you change the picture? Will you change what you've been thinking on all this week, all this month, all this year, all your life? Place it upon the kingdom of God, His righteousness, and the great love of God.
Cottonwood is located 3 miles east of Dublin on Highway 6. For more information on the ministries of Cottonwood, please call us at 254-445-2929, or you can visit us on the web at www.cottonwoodtx.com. Living on